I wonder if you ever struggle with doubts in the Christian life. I wonder if you ever struggle with doubts in the Christian life. We all have doubts in life, don't we? Doubts about the future, doubts about the present, doubts about relationships, doubts about our health, and even doubts about God. There are times when we feel like God is far away. We wonder if he really is there. There are times when we doubt God's word because of the difficult circumstances we're going through. Maybe we're struggling with depression, or we're struggling with anxiety, or we're struggling with grief, and God's word doesn't seem to be a sure foundation anymore. There are times when we doubt whether Jesus really did die for our sins, and whether he really did rise again from the dead. We definitely doubt if following Jesus Christ is worth it sometimes because of the persecution that we face along the way and the struggles and strife that we go through. Sometimes we wonder, does God really know what he's doing in our lives and whether he's actually at work? Well, as we come to this passage at Easter this morning, even John the Baptist had doubts. Even John the Baptist had doubts. And that's surprising, isn't it? Because John the Baptist spent time with Jesus. He went into the wilderness to preach the gospel. He was the one who was chosen to be the forerunner before Jesus Christ came into the world. He was Jesus' cousin. And yet he doubted himself. He doubted himself. He had even baptized Jesus, and the heavens had opened, and God had said, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." And yet John the Baptist doubted. You see, John is in prison when Jesus is doing some of his miracles here. He'd been in prison because he'd stood up for what is right against an evil king called King Herod, and he'd been chucked in a dungeon for his work. And so he's languishing in jail in this dark, dank place. There's no Wi-Fi, there's no tuck, there's no emails coming in, there's no phones that they're stolen in, there's no drugs coming into the prison. He's stuck in this dark, dank prison, wondering, is Jesus really the one? Is Jesus really the Messiah? I mean, he knew that Jesus had been doing amazing things. He just raised a little boy from the dead. But while that's going on, and all these miracles are happening out there, he's stuck in prison. And you can imagine in the darkness, he's probably anxious. He's probably a bit paranoid. He's probably wrestling with dark, dark thoughts. Maybe you've been in that place yourself. Maybe you're in that place today in your life. You know, often too much time by ourselves can lead our minds into all sorts of difficult spaces. When do doubts come out the most? Doubts come up the most when you're by yourself in your bed and it's dark and nobody else is around and your ticker starts to go on overdrive, doesn't it? Happens to all of us. We start to think, and if our emotions are unstable, it can take us down all sorts of rabbit warrens. So you can imagine John the Baptist. He's sitting on the end of his bed, if he even has a bed. It's dark, it's moldy, there's rats running around the place. He's had hardly anything to eat. And he's starting to question things. Is Jesus really the Messiah? Is Jesus really the one? He's confused. He's emotionally drained. His head is all over the place. And that's often what happens in our faith journey. Many times, doubts happen when we're disappointed with God. Doubts happen when we're disappointed with God. Things haven't quite worked out as we thought they should have done in our lives. Or doubts occur because things haven't worked out as we expected. Or doubts occur because we lose someone precious to us that we love deeply and dearly. Or doubts come along because we are going through chronic sickness and we can't shake it. Or doubts come along because we're under spiritual attack. We all have dark nights of the soul, don't we? All of us. However, prison's not the only reason that John the Baptist is confused. Jesus just isn't what John expected. Do you remember John preaching early on in Luke? He obviously talked about salvation to come. Do you know what he also talked about? He talked about judgment. A lot of his sermons were about judgment. And he thought the Messiah was going to come into the world and was going to overthrow the evil government and the evil kings and bring justice to the land. And yet all that Jesus is doing is he's skipping around healing this person, healing that person, and healing that person. And that's great. But John the Baptist, he wanted judgment. He wanted hellfire. He wanted justice to be done in the land. And so John, while he's in prison, sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the real deal? Are you the real deal?" And that is actually a fantastic question to ask. That's a fantastic question to ask. Each one of us in this room this morning should be thinking this. Is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus the Son of God? Is Jesus the promised one from the Old Testament? And maybe you're thinking about that this morning. Maybe you're at that place in your faith journey. You're thinking, is Jesus the real deal? Maybe you're trying to work out if Jesus is a Savior whom God promised to send. Is Jesus the Christ? Did Jesus really live and die and rise again? And if so, what does that mean for my life here today? Here's the thing. The most important question you can ask yourselves is this. Is Jesus the Messiah? This is the question we need to think through more than any other question because our souls depend on it. Our souls depend on it. Our eternal destiny depends on whether Jesus really is the Christ. You see, each one of us has a soul that's eternal. Your physical body will soon give up, but your soul is eternal. And you need to think through deeply where you're going when you die. Is it to heaven or is it to hell? And if Jesus is the one whom God sent, if Jesus is God's representative, then we need to listen to him this morning because he says, what you believe about me decides what happens to you after you die. Do you get that? Jesus was not just some sort of moral teacher that said, love your neighbor. Yes, he said that. But he said other things as well. He said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. If you do not believe in me, you will have eternal hell. The identity of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's come to do, decides what happens to you after you die. The answer to the question, is Jesus the one, leads to eternal damnation or eternal life? It's that serious. It means the forgiveness of your sins or receiving the punishment for your sins for eternity. It means knowing God and the hope of walking with Jesus Christ or walking this earth not knowing why you're here and having no hope. It means everything. And so how does Jesus respond? How does Jesus answer? Well, he doesn't try and change his ministry. He doesn't change who he is or what he's doing. He doesn't say, I'm going to bust you out of jail and I'm going to overthrow the political government. I'm going to bring judgment to your enemies. But this is what he says to John. See what I'm doing and see what I'm saying. See what I'm doing and see what I'm saying. What are they seeing? They're seeing amazing things. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking. Lepers are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. The Lord Jesus is at work showing them in his actions, in his miracles, and in his teachings that he is the Messiah. He touches the eyes of the blind, people who've never seen before, and they see. He makes those who are paralyzed from birth suddenly be able to walk and skip and dance down the street. He cleanses the leper immediately. He makes the deaf hear. He raises up the little girl and the little boy who are dead back to new life. And the poor have good news preached to them. The facts speak for themselves. And why is that all a confirmation? Because the miracles fulfill the Old Testament prophecies about what the Messiah would do while he was here. In other words, Jesus is saying to John, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles and see that I am fulfilling the scriptures. Read Isaiah 26:19 that says, your dead shall live, their bodies will rise. No one else can make the dead rise apart from Jesus. He says, go and read Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 6 that Derek read earlier. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. No one else can heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, but Jesus. Go and read Isaiah 61, verse 1, that says, the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. No other Messiah came with good news for the poor. Let me hone in on that point just for a second. The poor have good news preached to them. No other person in history offers hope to the poor like Jesus Christ. Nobody else in history cared for the fatherless and the widow and the orphan like Jesus Christ. Every other Messiah before Jesus and every other Messiah claiming to be the Messiah afterwards always made themselves rich, powerful, and influential and never even cared about the poor. And even if they did care for the poor, do you know what it turned out to be? A trick to get money into their own back pockets. But Jesus truly cared for the poor. He preached to them. He spent time with them. He died for them, and he got nothing for it. All he received was rejection, mocking, and eventual death. And yet he shared a message of hope for the poor that nobody else has ever shared, and it's this. You can find healing, and you can find hope, and you can find grace at the foot of the cross. And it doesn't cost you one single penny. It doesn't cost you anything. And it doesn't matter who you are this morning, doesn't matter what your family background is, doesn't matter what community you were brought up in, doesn't matter anything you've done in your past. Jesus says, come as you are, and I will give you salvation. In fact, Jesus says, I will treat you with justice and with grace and with equity, even though I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, the people in our community and the people in our scheme don't primarily need food banks. They don't primarily need better education. They don't primarily need drug rehabs, although these things are good. What do they primarily need? What do we primarily need here in this scheme? The good news of the gospel preached in a bad world. What do we need more than anything else? We need hope. In a hopeless world, we need grace in a world of brutality and harshness. We need love where love is often at a premium, particularly when we messed up again. And that's what Jesus offers. Jesus offers each one of us a message of hope. Jesus offers us a message of grace. Jesus offers each one of us a message of forgiveness. And by doing these miracles and preaching this message, he's showing us he's the one. He's the one that generations waited for, and he's the one that generations after him have believed in him and found salvation in his name and no other name. The scripture said that what the Messiah would do, and Jesus did it exactly. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. Now, you might be thinking this morning, well, that's great. Amazing news. But how does that help John? John's still in prison. How does that help me? I'm still sick. I'm still struggling. I'm still battling. But you know what? That's exactly what John the Baptist needed to hear in prison. Here's the thing. When we are doubting, it's important that we speak the word of God to our doubts. It's important that we remind ourselves of God's eternal and perfect word. It's important to speak hope from God's word to our often hopeless souls. Don't let the dark thoughts cloud your faith this morning. Instead, let the light of God's word strengthen your faith. At the end of the day, how you feel doesn't change one bit who Jesus is and what he's come to do and what he's done for your behalf, on your behalf from the cross and his resurrection. Again, maybe you're in a tight spot like John the Baptist again. Oof, I'm a bit sick. I'm still a bit traumatized. I'm still struggling. I'm still battling. Is Jesus the one? And this text tells us, once again, 100%, yes, he is. There is no other Savior. There is no other Christ. There is no other Messiah. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. And how do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Because Luke told us so. Remember, Luke's a doctor who wrote this account of the gospel to help us have certainty in our faith. And you'll notice in the text, you know what Luke calls Jesus? Luke calls Jesus Lord. Because he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Here's the truth this morning. This Bible here that I have in my hands, and every Bible that you have in your hands as well, is rock solid. It's 100% trustworthy. And you can build your life on what it says for your life. You can trust what Jesus did. You can trust what Jesus said. You can trust that Jesus is the one. And the very foundation of all that is this. It's not just what Jesus said. It's also what Jesus did on that first Easter. Remember, Jesus died on the Friday. He was dead. The Roman soldiers made sure he was dead. He didn't get up off the cross and walk away and then come back 3 days later and say, I'm here. He got put in the grave. He was completely dead. And then God rose him from the dead 3 days later, conquering sin, Satan, and death. If you are doubting this morning the existence of Jesus Christ, if you are doubting that Jesus is the one, if you're doubting that Jesus is the Messiah, do you know where you look? You look at the empty tomb. And you remind yourself of what that angel said. When the girls got there to the tomb, he said, he is not here. He is risen. Jesus is the Messiah. And the question is, will you repent of your sins and trust in him this morning? There's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is only one way to have your sins forgiven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And if you're thinking this morning, maybe you're Christian, maybe you're not Christian, and you're thinking this morning, that's a bit narrow, isn't it? Surely there's more ways than just Jesus. Surely, what about Allah? What about Buddhism? What about this? What about that? Aren't there other ways? Now, the Bible says clearly, and so does Jesus, who is the Son of God, there is no other way but by the cross of Christ. And the question you should be asking this morning is not, is this a narrow way? But you should be asking yourself this, what have I done to deserve the one way? What have I done to deserve the one way? We've done nothing, and yet we should be eternally grateful that God has opened a way where sinners can have a relationship with God and eternal life to come. We deserve no way, and yet Jesus has offered us the one way to the Father. The Christian life lives and falls on this message of Jesus Christ, and that message should be more than enough this morning for us. Look for another? You don't need to look for another. There is one who has come, who has died, who has lived, who's risen again for the forgiveness of sins. Do not let your doubts and your disappointments sway you from the fact that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Let me end with a story, and we'll sing to end. There was a man of a strange name a few thousand years ago called Polycarp. He was a Christian who lived during the Roman Empire. And about the time that he was living, the Romans were feeding Christians to the lions or burning you alive for your faith. This guy, Polycarp, followed Jesus for many years, and at the age of 86, he was put on trial before the Romans. He was taken to a big amphitheater with crowds of people, and he was asked by the trialists, the jury, "Will you renounce your faith today? If you renounce your faith, we'll let you go free. If you do not renounce your faith, we're going to feed you to the lions." This is what he said. 86 years I have served him, and he's done me no wrong. How can I now blaspheme my king and my savior?" The judge again tried to persuade him and said, "Well, we're not going to feed you to lions. We're going to burn you alive. Surely just renounce your faith. Walk away from it all and you'll be freed. Otherwise, we're going to burn you alive." And Polycarp said, "You threaten me with fire, which burns for 1 hour and is then extinguished. But you know nothing of the coming judgment and eternal punishment that's reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on any fire you want." And so the crowds rushed upon him. They piled up this big pile of logs and they burned him alive. How did this man at the age of 86 die in such a gracious and humble way and not renounce his faith? By God's grace, and because he knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, and that only faith in him would bring eternal life. And he might burn for an hour right then, but he knew eternity was to come. All about you. Jesus Christ is a great King who deserves all of our worship. And so my plea to you today is to bow your knee to King Jesus. Amen.